Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we welcome back author and occult researcher Matthew Deluz. We talk with him about the ancient Egyptian date, the 4th of July. But let's look at some of the stories in other news. Here's one. UK government bans GMOs from its own parliament restaurants while telling public to embrace genetic poisons. This is by Jonathan Benson on the Natural News site. Since the mid to late 1990s, when genetically modified organisms were first being thrust onto the market by governments working in lockstep with the biotechnology industry, the UK Parliament has effectively barred their use in all food items served to government officials at Parliament restaurants, according to new reports. This despite the fact that prominent elected officials in the UK are right now pushing GMOs on a public that is largely opposed to them, effectively shining the spotlight on their own insane hypocrisy with regard to the GMO issue. As recently reported by the UK's Daily Mail, news of the Parliament's ban on GMOs at its own restaurants comes amid the procurement of a massive pro-GMO propaganda campaign being led by this very same Parliament against the interests of its own people. Biotech industry people, such as the Conservative Secretary of State for the Environment, Owen Paterson, actually claims GMOs are safer than non-GMOs. He's currently pushing for more GMO acceptance in his country, even though he doesn't eat GMOs himself. Paterson, who regularly dines on only the highest quality non-GMO fare at fancy Parliament restaurants, such as the Portcullis House, the Pavilion Buffet, is quoted as blaming starvation in third world countries on widespread rejection of GMOs in the UK and elsewhere. Resistance to GM, quote, golden rice, for instance, is apparently the reason why millions of children have gone blind or died, according to Paterson, whose vehement advocacy of GMOs borders on maniacal. The article continues. Here's another story. On the NASA website, NASA study proves carbon dioxide cools atmosphere. It's written by H. Schroeder and J. O'Sullivan. A recent NASA report throws the space agency into conflict with its climatologists after new NASA measurements prove that carbon dioxide acts as a coolant in the Earth's atmosphere. NASA's Langley Research Center has collated data proving that greenhouse gases actually block up to 95% of harmful solar rays from reaching our planet, thus reducing the heating impact of the sun. The data was collected by sounding of the atmosphere using broadband emission radiometry, or SABR. SABR monitors infrared emissions from Earth's upper atmosphere, in particular from carbon dioxide and nitric oxide, two substances thought to be playing a key role in the energy balance of air above our planet's surface. NASA's Langley Research Center instruments show that the thermosphere not only received a whopping 26 billion kilowatt hours of energy from the sun during a recent burst of solar activity, but in the upper atmospheric carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide molecules sent as much as 95% of that radiation straight back out into space. The shock revelation starkly contradicts the core proposition of the so-called greenhouse gas theory, which claims that more CO2 means more warming for our planet. However, this compelling new NASA data disproves that notion and is a huge embarrassment for NASA's chief climatologist, Dr. James Hansen, and his team over at NASA's GISS. Already, the International Panel on Climate Change has been in full retreat after having to concede a 17-year stall in global warming despite levels of atmospheric CO2 rising almost 40% in recent decades. The new SABR data now forms part of a real-world double whammy against climatologists' computer models that have been programmed to show CO2 as a warming gas. The SABR evidence also makes a mockery of the statement on the NASA GISS site claiming, quote, the greenhouse gas effect keeps the planet much warmer than it would be otherwise. As NASA's SABR team at Langley admits, This is a new frontier in the Sun-Earth connection. The article continues, some diehard climate alarmists will still say that in the lower atmosphere the action of carbon dioxide is reversed, but there is no actual proof of this at all. PSI is the Principia Scientific International. PSI suggests it's time for the SABR team to have a word with Dr. James Hansen. This is what past guest and UN Agenda 21 activist Stacey Lynn has been investigating. This is what Dane Wigington, Michael Murphy, Rosa Corey, Cindy Bakulis, all of them have been looking at in depth. And here it is validated. It will be very interesting as this data gets out to see what Australia does and what influence this will have on the United States and the climatologists here and in Europe and where they will start to go with the carbon credit scheme. Goldman Sachs was about to manage the carbon credit climate scheme. Remember that? Here's another story. Listeners, you may have heard of the massive flooding last week in Calgary, Alberta. The Elbow River and the Bow River that run through the city of Calgary rose and flooded major parts. People had to be evacuated, and the floods were the result of extremely heavy rain. With all the geoengineering that we do discuss, it is possible to stall a weather front over a particular area, especially as the snowpack is melting. A lot of things have changed with the surface area since the oil sands drilling in the northern part of that province. I don't know if that's related. I suspect some geoengineering, weather control activity was happening. Because on the other side of this event is this story. Kurt Nemo on InfoWars wrote this. Canadian Mounties exploit flood to confiscate firearms from citizens. Canada's Royal Mounted Police exploited rising floodwaters in the town of High River in Calgary as they seized firearms from the homes of evacuated residents. The floods were the result of extremely heavy rain. On Thursday, according to the Calgary Herald, the RCMP confiscated a substantial amount of firearms under the pretext of controlling the weapons and storing them for safe keeping. Quote, "We just want to make sure that all of those things are in a spot that we control simply because of what they are," said Sergeant Brian Topham. Residents were outraged by the high-handed measure. Quote, I find that absolutely incredible that they have the right to go into a person's belongings right in their home. When people find out about this, there's going to be untold hell to pay. This is the reason the U.S. has the right to bear arms, another resident said, as he pointed at a group of Mounties blockading the town. The move by the Canadian police is reminiscent of the brazen act of gun confiscation occurring in New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina in 2005. There's a pattern with engineered disasters and then the Agenda 21 coming in afterward. Can the jet stream be manipulated, stalled out, in a way to keep a front stationary over a region to make it rain in one place for an extended period of time? Dane Wigington, a past guest and one of the top geoengineering researchers, he runs the site geoengineeringwatch.org. Well, he recently gave a great presentation, a 101 on geoengineering, weather control, and let's listen to what he said about manipulating the jet stream.
And again, as our bodies become more conductive from these particulates and we're exposed to more and more of these signals, and especially the signal from HARP, which we see, by the way, the signature clouds above our area a lot. HARP helps build the high pressure up like we've had over us again and again and again. These particles dry the air out. If anybody wonders why there's no dew in the morning, you almost never see dew. We have single-digit humidity because these particles absorb and accrete all available moisture. They virtually suck it right out of the atmosphere and out of the foliage. So these facilities, these ionosphere heaters, are a radical effect in the weather patterns we see happening of late. History Channel also airs proof HARP weather manipulation. A lot of documentation on this. Jet stream movement, unprecedented jet stream movements. We see this almost all the time now. in the lower 48 especially. And this appears to be connected to, for example, what they might be trying to do in the Arctic could be affecting us horrifically here, because the jet stream, as it moves across us, it's part of that long-term manipulation that I believe right now this is why we're frying at this point, because there are some very profound things happening in the Arctic, and we appear to be one of the reasons that gets thrown under the bus for the manipulation of things they're trying to do to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish in the Arctic. So again, this is a very complex equation, and when you affect something upstream, it affects everything downstream. More HAARP signature clouds. You see the ribbing in these clouds. This is typical of something exposed to the HAARP frequency. Now, this is Project Lucy, which involves these ionosphere heaters. Again, these massively powerful atmospheric heating devices. They are releasing, methane is releasing now around the globe in many locations, and I'll elaborate on that as I go further into this presentation. But as this methane is hitting the atmosphere, methane is, over a 10-year time horizon, 100 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. It's virtually like covering the planet with a layer of glass. Now, their latest proposal, as the experiment gets worse and worse, as they play weather whack-a-mole, they're now, we believe they're already at this program, to use the ionosphere heaters to nuke the atmosphere in a desperate attempt to try to degrade the methane that is already one of the consequences of the programs they've already been at for 60 years. So the equation just gets worse and worse. And we believe, by the way, they have been at this for about 60 years. We have documents on geoengineeringwatch.org from the NASA archives that show weather modification activity in the U.S. back to the mid-40s. More HAARP-exposed clouds. Chinese scientists create second artificial snowstorm in Beijing. Mainstream media covered this because the Chinese government openly announced they were creating artificial snowstorms. This is turning what should have been a rain event into a snow event. It's happening here regularly. December 21st of last year, we had a massive artificially nucleated storm. And when you're in the woods, like where I live, 40 degrees, and it starts snowing, these giant artificial flakes, and all you can hear overhead is aircraft flying low. We've tested the snow. It's packed full of metals. And this is causing horrific damage to the trees and the foliage. This is ozone hole from the Arctic. You see 1984, where you don't have any blues. 1997, lots of blues. This also is a part of the geoengineering program consequences. As they saturate the atmosphere with these particulates, it causes ozone damage. The science is extremely clear on that. Many have felt how hot the sun feels on their face. If you drive through parking lots in Costco, Walmart, or around Reading, you'll see the south-southwest sides of the trees literally burnt off. This is not natural. And this ozone hole is expanding. They're trying desperately to hide it. Unprecedented ozone hole opens up over Canadian Arctic. More documentation on the ozone problem. Recent changes to Gulf Stream causing widespread gas hydrate destabilization.
That was Dane Wigington talking about weather control and manipulating the jet stream. Is he the only one saying this? No, the late Jerry Smith, who wrote about HAARP and weather control and weather warfare, he said the same thing in a past interview. Let's have a listen.
The way I like to do it is I state, what we know for sure and can prove is. Now, where we can go from there is.
We don't have conclusive evidence, so we don't talk about it, but how do you get this information other than connecting some ideas?
There is a lot of material in the scientific press, but it requires you being able to read scientific papers and quite literally stumbling into papers that connect to each other. It's really a crapshoot whether you come up with dots that are connectable or not. Here's what I think might be going on. Enron, the energy giant that went so spectacularly tango uniform a few years ago, developed something called weather derivatives, which is quite literally a way to bet on how the weather is going to turn out via the stock market. And Enron was $1 billion with $1 billion into weather derivatives. Now, I live in a gambling town, and it's really hard for me to imagine somebody coming up to a craps table and putting $1 billion on the table and not have the dices loaded. So my feeling on this is, first of all, the HAARP is based on the APTI patents from Bernard Eastland and his crew. I'm convinced that is the truth. Those patents expressly state how a HAARP-like device could be used to manipulate the weather. Now, I have talked with Dr. Eastland, and he says that the TARP as currently constructed is insufficient. It's too small to be able to affect the weather he thinks it should be affected by this technology. I kind of doubt if HAARP really is being used to the full potential. But if it were being used for weather manipulation, I can see that there is a strong possibility that HAARP is being used for private gain, not for military use, but for pure ribald capitalism. And what I'm looking at here is that there is evidence that Doppler radar does not merely illuminate clouds, but actually affects the charges of clouds, and that by how you stroke the clouds with the radars is one way that you can manipulate and massage a storm front. Now, it looks like HAARP is being used to pull Arctic air down, and the Dopplers are being used to drive moist air up from the south. This produces storm fronts. With storm fronts, you can drive temperatures down. I think it's all about heating oil. Frankly, that seems to me to be the closest reason for using HAARP to manipulate the weather, is driving winter temperatures down by a couple of degrees, and the heating oil people clean up. And if you can reverse that during the summer, if you can push the cold air north, you can drive the there's another aspect of this is the hurricanes. There's evidence that an artificial high pressure was created over North America during the 2006 hurricane seasons to be a force field, if you will, to keep the hurricanes from making landfall. And if you noticed, in 2006, not one hurricane made landfall in the U.S. compared to 2005, when an unprecedented number of named hurricanes succeeded in making landfall.
Why would they want to clear 2006 of hurricanes?
It was an election year. It was an election year. Did you notice that just before the election, the price of gasoline dropped at the pump, and then right after the election, the price went back up again? I don't believe for a moment that was a mere coincidence. Knowing as little about the science as I know, I recognize that there's so much I don't know that I can't be really confident that an X is really an X. But what it looks like to me is that there is a lot of weather manipulation taking place. And much of this weather manipulation is for positive control. Hail suppression, fog dispersal from airports, cloud seeding to increase snowpacks. I consider these all more or less benign and positive uses of the technology. There are, of course, downsides to this, and one thing I recognize is that there is no such thing as local weather. All weather affects all other weather. The atmosphere is a closed system. Now, there are, of course, climates and microclimates. I mean, what's going on in your backyard is quite a bit different from what's going on in my backyard, but they are intrinsically linked to each other.
That was the late Jerry Smith, who wrote a number of books about HAARP and weather warfare, speaking about manipulating the jet stream in a past interview. There's an event coming up on July 14th at the Cinema Arts Center Sky Room, titled Geoengineering the Sky Room, An Introduction to Weather Control. There will be a screening of Why in the World Are They Spraying?, a film by Michael Murphy, that makes these connections. It will be followed by a presentation from Cindy Bakulis, the director of Long Island Skywatch, and myself. And Cindy Bakulis is joining us by phone to talk about this event. Cindy Bakulis, welcome to Another News.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Jeff.
Hey, we're going to be presenting some material about geoengineering and weather control on Sunday, July 14th at 6 p.m. at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, Long Island. And this is an effort to bring awareness to these issues and why it's important. We talk about this a lot on the show. This is a time when more people are beginning to tune into this. What are your thoughts, Cindy?
Couldn't agree with you more, Jeff. I think more people are starting to tune into everything. in addition to geoengineering, the GMO issue, Agenda 21, all the wars, everything that's happening in the world today, it's all connected. So I'm actually really excited about this presentation because I think it's going to really discuss geoengineering and get to the bottom of it, who, as we've done before, who's doing it or who we think is doing it, who stands to gain. But there's so many connections involving all the other issues that are taking place today.
Listeners might recall your presentation that we've offered as a premium in the past called Connect the Dots. You're going to be presenting a modified version. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be including what I just spoke about, all the other connections, Agenda 21, GMOs, how geoengineering is related to really everything that's taking place in the world today. To take that out of the pie is not possible. They're all pieces of the same pie, and there are very few people or corporations that stand to gain from everything.
Also, during the event, they will be screening Why in the World Are They Spraying? That's a documentary film looking in depth into the connections of genetically modified food, agriculture, and critically linked geoengineering, the aerosol programs, weather control. And that was directed and produced by Michael Murphy. They're going to screen that, and there will be music from Dan Ault of DMT, Nick Russell, and Rick Sackett. So the wonderful listeners and activists out there in Huntington, New York, are really standing up and connecting with WBAI, Pacifica Radio, New York Skywatch, and Long Island Skywatch, and it's wonderful to be a part of this.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a fantastic evening for those who know and for those who are just starting to question. So please bring your family, bring your friends, because a lot of times we can't answer exactly the right way for them to see. And the movie is fantastic. The presentations that are going to really show how everything is linked, that one thing is linked to the other. So it'll answer a lot of questions.
Right. And some of those issues have to do with human health implications and the poisons in our environment. Why are a lot of people sick with cancer? Why are they obese? We'll make those connections as well.
Absolutely. Health is huge. And quite often, that gets people questioning, why are our children, 1 out of 6 of our children has a disability, and chronic illness in our children today is something that has never been witnessed before. When it's yours or your family or someone you know, quite often, that's the ticket to get you asking questions.
And that's going to be at the Cinema Arts Center Sky Room, 423 Park Avenue, Huntington, New York, 11743. If you want to give them a call, you have questions about the event, call them at 631-423-7610. And the event is titled Geoengineering the Sky Room, An Introduction to Weather Control. Sky Room, by the way, is one of the rooms that they have there at the Cinema Arts Center. And that's going to be on Sunday, July 14th at 6 p.m. It will go to about 9:30 p.m. Cindy, I look forward to seeing you again, Jim and Andrew and the rest, and it should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Come on down, everybody.
Past shows, we've discussed in depth the energy ley line grid of New York City and how it connects to the wider region of Eastern North America. We've also talked about how certain Freemason groups will perform a ritual at the base of the ley lines. These annual events hold significant importance and are often ignored. Our guest today is author and occult researcher Matthew Deluz. He unlocks the hidden connections to energy ley lines, Freemasons, in the ancient Egyptian holiday known as the 4th of July. Matthew explains that while visiting the Temple of Hathor in Dendera, Egypt, he noticed an ancient painting with an unusual likeness to the United States flag. Have we all been tricked into worshiping an ancient goddess placed on a sun temple for the 4th of July? Matthew Deluz is a returning guest. He joins us to explain that concept and much more.
Matthew's work can be found at matthewdeleuze.com. He's the author of 3 books, You'll Be Wiser When You're Older, The Stars Are Falling, Reasons to Believe We Are Enslaved by the Serpent, and Is It Me for a Moment, Breaking the Serpent's Spell. Matthew Deleuze, welcome back to Another News.
I'm glad you've got me back on, Jeff. I appreciate it very much.
It's great to have you on. One of the reasons why is our last interview, you discussed in detail the occult significance of Ferris wheels, and it was in the context of the New York mayor announcing that the world's tallest Ferris wheel would be placed on the Staten Island waterfront, about 620 feet high. That wheel would be expected to open about 2 or 3 years from now. And this is exactly what you write about and had written about in your 2008 article, Spitting Out the Feathers of the Bennu Bird. Now, you pointed out these Ferris wheels are appearing in many locations around the world, and they're notoriously uneconomical. You give an example of the London Eye losing 25 million pounds a year. And you point out in detail, why is this happening? You say a Ferris wheel in these locations basically turns the area into a sun temple, and whatever monuments or buildings in the area also become part of that temple. Well, to further describe the setting during the week of the 4th of July here in this New York area, our last guest, Peter Shampoo, had pointed out to us, and he talks about ley lines, that there's a ley line nexus in the New York Harbor. That's where a lot of important ley lines, energy lines, converge. And it's right next to the Statue of Liberty. And now there is, during this 4th of July weekend, the reopening of the Statue of Liberty since some destruction occurred during the hurricane on October 29th last year. Now, on the surface, you have the visual broadcast of this event into homes, boats in the harbor, as the reopening of the Statue of Liberty begins. But, Matthew, can you tell listeners what's really going on here?
Yeah, I certainly will try to, Jeff. Before I start to do that, I wish to get across to people that I am not here tonight to insult anything in America or upset anybody on what I'm going to say. I've found over the last 15 years, through personal pain and stuff like that, that sometimes people are so programmed in their beliefs and so programmed by their traditions that they put a barrier up and they refuse to accept anything, any alternative sort of viewpoint. I believe the 4th of July is one of the most important events on the planet. I think it's very important in the occult world. I think the human race is controlled by secret societies and their masters. To get this sort of information across through the barriers that people have, personal barriers that people have, and their conditioning, their education, their traditions, and their emotional attachment to it is very difficult. So before I start to try and explain what I think the 4th of July is all about, I want to get that point across. I am not here to upset anybody. I am just putting a point of view across. Yes, if we go back to the last interview, we talked about energy lines and we talked about covert monuments representing occult figures. I talked about energy being extracted outward through energy lines and into the monument and then feeding somebody else. It's a very deep subject. What I want to get across tonight, not knowing the short time we have together, is stuff about the 4th of July. The American people and other people around the world are very attached to their Statue of Liberty, and they're very attached to the Stars and Stripes flag. And there's nothing wrong with that if we take the official version of history into account. There's nothing wrong with loving the flag of the country you live in, and there's nothing wrong with liking the monuments that are displayed in your country. The only problem that could occur on that situation is if the flag that you're taught to worship and the monuments you applaud several times a year are not what they are told they are. Everything's hunky-dory if everything is, everybody tells the truth about history. My findings are that history is a load of lies. So getting a point across about the 4th of July is going to be very difficult. I believe the 4th of July is an occult ceremony. And it's not based on anything to do with the great people of America that fought in wars or anything like that to keep the country free, or their version of it being free. It's nothing to do with that. That's just been implanted in people's minds to get them to be emotionally attached to the actual occasion of the 4th of July. To explain what I mean, I'd like to take you to a place in Egypt called the Temple of Dendera. I visited the Temple of Dendera in 2005. First thing that struck me was a painting on the wall showing Egyptian deities. I won't go into detail of the deities because we haven't the time, but it was showing the details of a deity known as Afor, which is a goddess. And above this picture on the wall was basically the Stars and Stripes. I immediately thought of the Stars and Stripes. I'm going to put this on my website for people, for listeners to come and have a look at if they don't believe what I'm saying. And apart from that, in Dendera, I looked into it, and I found out that one of the major celebrations in the Temple of Dendera was what's known as the New Year, the ancient New Year. But the ancient New Year wasn't January 1st like we celebrate it. It was around the 4th of July. It was on the 4th of July. And the reason it was on the 4th of July is because it links up with sun worship through worshipping the Sirius star, the sun, the Sirius sun. And the ancient Egyptians worshipped the appearance of the sun that they were worshipping the sun, because it was at the time when the Nile, the river as it was known then, was at the highest level. So everybody celebrated because they knew they weren't going to starve or everything was going to be hunky-dory for them. But they didn't just go out and worship Sirius. They worshipped Sirius through the goddess Isis or Afor, which are the same goddess really. Now, I'm suggesting tonight to all Americans, especially you in New York, that's facing this monument every day, the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty actually is a goddess representation. And it's exactly the same as what they used to do in ancient Egypt, and they used to worship Sirius through a statue of a goddess, Isis or Aethor, the same one.
We're speaking with Matthew Deleuze, occult researcher and author, about the origin of the 4th of July. We'll be right back after this break.
Angel came down from heaven yesterday. She stayed with me just long enough to rescue me. And she told me a story yesterday about the sweet love between the moon and the deep blue sea. And then she spread her wings high over me. She said she's gonna come back tomorrow. And I said, fly on, my sweet angel. Fly on through the sky.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Matthew Deleuze. He's an occult researcher and author.
I believe that the American people have been duped on a massive scale to carry out the same sort of worship through a goddess statue as they did in the Temple of Dendera. Because in the Temple of Dendera, they actually wheeled a statue out of a goddess on the 4th of July, or roughly speaking, and they literally worship the sun by worshipping the statue of Isis Hathor. So when I saw this and I saw the stars and stripes on the wall as well, I thought, hey, up. Oh, this is ringing too much of a bell to me. So that's why I'm suggesting to you people in America tonight that the same occult ceremony is going on a massive scale in America as it did in ancient Egypt. It's the same occult ceremony. The Statue of Liberty is basically a goddess that stood on top of the temple, because that's what the base of the Statue of Liberty is, as we went through the last time Jeff had me on.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a temple. And basically, everybody's worshipping and focusing their energy on that statue on the 4th of July, exactly the same as they did in ancient Egypt. And all it was, all the statue is a middleman to worship the sun, in this case, Sirius. We've talked about energy, human energy. The one thing we can all agree on, I think, is that all humans create emotional energy. We are all sparked off to feel emotional about something. And let's face it, folks, let's be straight with each other here.
I agree. One of the currencies in this exchange is human energy, human emotional energy, and that's the essence of most types of magic. But, Matthew, is this a fair exchange to an unwitting participant?
Well, no, it's a contract. It's a contract. What's happening to make us join in with these ceremonies, and I'm not just talking about the 4th of July, I'm talking about ceremonies all year round, Christmas, Easter. I'm talking about all these ceremonies that we're told to join into.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally programmed to do so. We've been programmed from birth, especially Americans over the 4th of July. I can only repeat myself and say, because the stars and stripes are on the walls of the temples in Egypt, and they had ceremonies on the 4th of July to celebrate the sun worship of Sirius, what I'm saying is it's just a massive copy of that ceremony. In the ancient times, in them temples, when the Egyptian hierarchy carried out these ceremonies, it fed the pharaohs, the kings, and everybody involved to continue to rule the poor people of the land. I believe that that's why the ceremonies go on the 4th of July in America on a similar basis. Every time we carry out these ceremonies, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, we are simply, spiritually, empowering the people that have conned us into carrying out these ceremonies. And that is why we are programmed, so robotically carrying them out. Because it is vital to these people that we carry out these ceremonies for them to continue to control us and keep us in prison and chains. Not only that, on a higher, deeper level, when we do carry out these ceremonies, we are feeding the masters of the secret societies. In my opinion, these masters of secret societies are alien to this world. They're a different force. They cannot show themselves in this world because we would not worship them. They have to con us into worshipping them because we would not worship them if we knew their true identity. So they use their middlemen, they use their Obamas, they use the Queens of England, they use all the royalty and elite simply to rule us. As I will reiterate, that Dendera used to place a statue on the roof of the temple, and they used to worship Sirius, the sun, through the statue on the roof of the temple. It is an exact replica going on in New York every 4th of July. It cannot be a coincidence. You cannot have a statue of Isis placed on the Temple of Dendera on the 4th of July in ancient times and have a mass collective consciousness concentrating on a statue that stood on top of a temple in New York thousands of years later. It is planned. It is not a coincidence. It is definitely planned by the secret societies that control our lives on a daily basis. And I believe these secret societies that control our lives on a daily basis are serving forces that we are not knowledgeable about. We cannot see them, we cannot contact them, we cannot argue with them, we cannot say what you're doing to our planet. It's all forced on us through education, through programming, through making us feel emotionally tied to something we have no clue about by making up stories about why they're there, e.g. the Stars and Stripes and the Statue of Liberty. And it goes on and on and on and on. I'd like to point out also that it's not just New York that celebrates the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
This scam is not just going on in New York City through the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Although the entire country is connected to the Statue of Liberty, it is the central point. It is the statue on top of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But in other towns and cities around America and around the world, really, it's not just America celebrate the 4th of July. People, please watch your TVs on 4th of July or record what's happening in Chicago, record what's happening in Philadelphia, record what's happening all over the country in the major cities, and notice where the celebrations are concentrated. But I've researched these things so much. I'll guarantee you that there'll be parties at the Washington Monument. There'll be parties at the Philadelphia Museum of Art and the museum in Chicago where Obama was celebrating his victory. There will be massive 4th of July parties there. There'll be fireworks, there'll be celebrities. It'll be Macy's all over the entire country. And that's because the secret society and their masters want the entire country to join in what is an ancient ritual to bring in Sirius, the sun. It's a sun worship ritual. The American people have been duped beyond belief over this situation. They've been attached to the Stars and Stripes, which is from the Temple of Dendera. It is nothing to do with the United States. It's a contract. You've been told to worship a flag that belongs in an Egyptian sun temple. Please believe me on that. You've also been told to worship a statue that's nothing to do with the people of America that struggled, that's gone through the depressions and starved. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with worshipping a middle goddess for alien forces. And it's just a massive country. As I said, don't take my word for it. Watch your TV screens. Remove your blinkers, remove your programming about the 4th of July, forget about all the history about the flag and the Statue of Liberty. Just open your eyes and watch what the people are being forced to do. Although willingly, and because they've been told to party and they can enjoy themselves, but I can assure you as well that this force that programmed us to party when they want us to party do not really want you to party. They only want you to party when it serves them, when they are serving their masters, when they want you to get on your knees and celebrate and worship the sun, because that is what you're doing on the 4th of July. That is my opinion anyway.
Well, Matthew, thank you for giving us that detailed description of what's going on behind the scenes during these events that are occurring not only in the United States, but all over the world. And you trace it back to ancient Egypt. Some of our past guests have done the same, but not quite in the direction you've gone. Like most of your work, you have a very unique approach and take on what's happening around us. You've been writing quite a bit extensively. One of your last articles is titled, "Go, Swim in the Pool of Siloam." It's a long article, and it's full of twists and turns. Can you tell listeners what you're writing about there?
Well, yeah, basically, Jeff, it's exactly the same principle as the 4th of July in America. the secret societies that control it and their masters carry out ancient ceremonies, ancient celebrations, ancient sacrifices that was carried out centuries ago. Obviously, they can't do the same in modern times as they did in ancient times. In ancient times, they just used to sacrifice people right in front of everybody. They used to carry out the ceremonies right in front of everybody. Nobody could do anything about it because of the power. As an next example of that, I'd say anybody that's into the Christian religion or other religions will realise that ceremonies went on like Herod killing the firstborn child. Stuff like that went on in the open. It wasn't hidden. These days, they have to hide things. Or they have to do them symbolically. And that's what's going on in Israel. Thousands of years.
Well, that's very interesting, Matthew, that you point out how it has to be hidden, because maybe in this modern society there are more people, and if they knew what was really going on, they would try to stop it.
Well, they've given us the illusion that we're free. But we're not free. We're more in prison now than we've ever been. It's just that we are globally deluded that we have freedom and we have rights. It's becoming perfectly clear in this day and age that we have no freedom, we have no rights. If you've got freedom and rights, please show me how. Because I'm sat in a so-called free country at the moment, and I assure you I have no freedom whatsoever. I know we haven't got much time yet. I'd like to just briefly mention my article. Basically, what I'm saying in that article is the Holocaust, and Holocaust means sacrifice by fire, nothing else, is that massive sacrifice was hidden in Second World War. It's now being reenacted in Jerusalem through a temple, well, through a museum known as Yad Vashem. Every day, those sacrifices are reenacted in what I'd say was a temple. And the emotions of the people that visited this place are reacting as though that sacrifice is taking place today. It's another case of a replica ceremony. In this case, it's a replica sacrifice. And those sacrifices are needed in present-day form to satisfy the secret societies, ceremonies and occult practices today. And that's all that's going on there. So similar to the 4th of July celebration, repeating a ceremony from ancient Egypt, the actual events in Yad Vashem in Jerusalem today are recreating the Holocaust, a sacrifice by fire of millions of people. I'll repeat that. I believe that modern-day reenactments of sacrificial events, namely the Holocaust in Second World War, are being reenacted in a modern-day temple, posing as a museum, because most museums today are posing as the ancient temples. It's basically a reenactment of what went on in World War II. To be blunt and cruel as it may sound, Hitler was working for the secret societies in the Second World War. And part of that agenda, hidden within the Second World War, was to carry out occult sacrifices. That's all the Holocaust could ever be. It could only ever be an occult sacrifice. It cannot be anything else. And the reason it was done in the 1930s and 40s was because the secret societies and their masters always plan things in advance. They've got access to knowledge and understanding that we haven't got, and they know what to do in the future. They know what needs to be done in the future. So, obviously, to people out there, me suggesting that the Holocaust in the 1930s and 40s was really meant to have an effect in 2016 onwards sounds absolutely ridiculous. But let's face it, they could not get away with doing what they did in the 1930s and 40s at this present time. And this is the time that the sacrifices need to be made. So all they needed to do, because they're operating on a very high level of intelligence, all they needed to do was sacrifice the people 60 years ago or whenever, and then reenact it in the day they want the sacrifice to take an effect. You walk through any Holocaust museum, especially the massive one in Jerusalem called Yad Vashem, and you are literally reenacting the Holocaust. The emotional energy in these places is fantastic. And I'd like to point out, what is the most replayed information in the last 40, 50 years on the TVs and the pictures? It's all about Hitler and the war. It's always implanted in people's heads every single week of the year. It's on the TV non-stop. You can go on History Channel, you can go on any channel you want, and Hitler and the Holocaust is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. That's simply because it's got to stay in the collective consciousness. It's never left our consciousness. We're always aware the Nazis sacrificed the Jews and burnt them. And all that is because basically what you have in Jerusalem now at Yad Vashem, it's not, they're not actually sacrificing them now, but they like playing a repeat. And so therefore the emotions involved are genuine. It's just like the sacrifices are happening now because they're continually putting our minds. I know it sounds cruel, but that's what's going on. And that's what's going on in Jerusalem. They're just recreating the sacrifices. And the emotions of the world are always connected to it. I hope you can understand what I'm saying on that. It's very difficult to get across in just a few minutes.
What solutions would you suggest to protect yourself, maybe psychically, from this type of energy extraction?
Well, at this stage of the world, as I see it, the main thing you can do is simply start to look at things in a different light. Once you get stuff in and you get a little inclination of what's actually going on and you start to believe your own intuition, then the world seems to open up and disappear. Like, there's no threat here. I have no fears in this world whatsoever. None. I don't fear anything. And that's simply because I've learned to trust my intuition. I've learned to look at things without being following the programming that I've been educated with as a child. I'm completely rid of any program. And I look at things and I listen to things as they are presented and as I see them. And even though I feel under attack a lot psychically, I brush it off. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. 15 years ago, I was a man that was scared of everything. I was scared of my children being blown up in a nuclear war. I was living in fear with their bodies. Today, I look forward to death. It means nothing to me because I know we're all immortal. But this world needs a lot of energy coming into it to change the path it's on. And the only way we can do that, in my opinion, is through truth and believing your own intuition and your own heart. That's the best way I can sum it up, Jeff, tonight.
We often talk about that specific thing here on the show, and we've had a number of guests on to discuss ways to tune in a little more to paying attention to that voice, that intuitive voice.
Yeah, just think, as far as the 42 life concerned, just look what's actually going on, look what the people are doing, look what we stood around, look what we're celebrating around. It's on a par with the ancient times where they were dancing around golden idols. It doesn't change whatsoever. The same deceptive forces in this world are completely deceiving the human race. Because the human race sees enjoyment and excitement, they're failing to see what's actually going on because of their own enjoyment. The enjoyment is fake. It's literally enslaving them. It leads to misery. It doesn't lead to enjoyment. It's a 5-minute party on the 4th of July. That's all it is.
It is. It's a fake reality. And to see through it, if you're with a group of people who just think this is nuts, this is crazy, don't talk about this because it doesn't make sense.
Try to explain to you, Jeff, you've got to lose the programming. It's very, very difficult.
Now,
it's the programming and the tradition.
Matthew, tell us about your ebook that you're offering to the listeners, please.
Yeah, anybody that wants to come along to Rumble Media and look at the information they have on the 4th of July, you'd be quite welcome to email me and I'll send them a free copy of the Stars of Falling ebook. There is a little bit in there about the Temple of Zendaya and everything.
It is.
Please come and have a look at the articles I've written.
Where can listeners do that, Matthew?
RumbleMedia.com. Or they can put MatthewDeluz.com in and that'll bring the same website up.
Matthew Deluz, thank you so much again for being back on the show and detailing what's really going on in our midst. It's not easy to grasp for various reasons, but I really appreciate you having the courage and determination to continue to get this important information out.
You're always welcome, Jeff. You know that, anytime you want me on. I know it's difficult to get stuff across in short space of time. But you mentioned the website. The website's full of information. All people can spend all the time they want on there and try and pick stuff up. I hope they do. I'll put something on about the 4th of July. There'll be something on the website now for it. They can come and have a look at that too.
That's going to do it, listeners, for In Other News. See you next Monday, 10 p.m. And again, a big thank you for financially supporting this wonderful station at the most critical time.